Just a little bit of a recap. So we had our church retreat and we were having Holy Spirit weekend, and we talk about a lot of the spiritual gift too. And last week, and I share about the spiritual gifts, and but in the whole passage of 1 Corinthians with love, when we receive from God, but operating the gift with love is such an important part of it. And I'm also talking about God doesn't necessarily only give us the gift when we can love well. So there's a lot of churches, people might have the spiritual gift, but because there's still wounds within themselves, they might not understand love well. It could actually cause divisions instead of unity, instead of a blessing to the church. It actually caused damages to church too. And the passage, as we read it, spiritual gift, in chapter 13, it talk about how important it is to have love. Even on chapter 14 as well, we could have all of those gifting, but without love, it means nothing. And so last week's message is talking about what is spiritual gift with unity. And this week I'm talking about this love. How does this love bring about unity and the connections of the two? And obviously it does bring in spiritual gift too. And what is love? If you actually read through the whole Bible, even from Old Testament, right from the beginning to the end, you actually see a thread of God's message about his love. And then there are big portions and passages in New Testament talking about love, that we need to love one another. And Jesus talked about love too. But how do we love, and what does love mean? Because we talk about as a believer, it's not just about a theology. It is not about us, okay, this is what the word say, okay, I give my life to Jesus, and then we can't actually, it is not something that we can actually use theology to describe what love is, because it's such a, things is about strong emotions. I can describe love. Somebody can talk about love, but you can actually talk about love, but without that emotions. I don't know if you actually understand what I'm saying. Let's say it's the five love language. Somebody can actually serve very well, let's say a tea or coffee. You can do all of those things almost like an automatic mode, but you might not be doing it with love. Like in the Bible, Mary and Martha, her love language is actually serving. She's probably very gifted in it, but we can all be so tired and then we're complaining somebody else is not doing something. So even though she was serving, but she wasn't serving with love. She was complaining to Jesus, why isn't my sister doing something? Tell her to do something. So we can actually do a lot of the things, but with our love within ourselves. And God is actually saying it's more important to be able to love. And that's the same with our Christian walk. We can preach the gospel. We can share the gospel and telling about Jesus' love. But sometimes when people actually don't understand the concept of how can actually somebody die for me so many thousands of years ago can bring salvation to me. A lot of the time people can't understand the concept. But what they can understand is when we actually share love with them. When we actually share love, it actually come out from within us. And then they just say, oh, what is it that about you that are different? And then they will actually want to hear more about what we want to share with them. It is our relationship with God. So love is not something that I can just use words to explain and describe. Not like if I'm saying like holding a book, I said, this is a book. What's the definition of a book? It's got pages in it. But it doesn't have to have just words. It could have just a picture book. That's still called a book. So I could describe all of that, but love is not a word that we could just describe. Love is so much more than that. It's a, It's about our emotions. There's a world filled of love that's very more of a selfish way. Even in a worldview of marriages, a lot of the time is, what can I get out from this relationship? Whether it's marriage or just man and woman when they have a relationship. And when they don't feel the other person is giving them what they want, that's when they say, well, this is not working for me anymore. And then they find somebody else. So this is the worldview of love. And sometimes that worldview of love could be very controlling because it's demanding of what you're supposed to give me. But there's a God's love in the Bible described in many places of what love is in the kingdom of God. First of all, we know, we receive and understand as believers, we receive from God of His love for us. That God gave His only Son for us. That we receive love from Him. It is hard for us to give love when we actually don't understand God's love, when we haven't received from Him, because we might still be trying to get people to love us. We are created to receive love and to give love. But when we haven't received love from God or trying to love people in our own strength, it will be very self-limited. I have only so much love I can give you. But the more I receive from God, the more I actually have more love to give. Babies are born needing love in so many different ways. If we use the 5 love language books, saying physical touch, baby receive it from the hugs and the cuddles, being held, or act of service for sure. If they need nappy changings or they need cleaning or feeding, all of those act of service, or quality time, that's being held, the quality time, and then the mom or the dad or the grandparents or friends, they'll be holding them and saying all the silly words, goo-goo, and, oh, you're so cute, and all the funny voices that parents or adults suddenly start speaking when you're holding a baby. And then your voice volume changes, like, oh, you're so cute, you know. And all of those words that we use, we wouldn't be using really cross words with babies. But when we do that, we know that something is wrong. I mean, even in a worldview, that would be called child abuse. And so all of those love language that we talk, when we read that book, those are the basic understanding of what love is. As a baby was born, they need all of that. It's not just one. I mean, the book talk about what is our major, the strong love language that we receive. But we are actually created to need all of them. And God is a God who loves in a pure way that He give us love in all of those areas. And in a worldview, even when the parents are not doing that, whether you're Christian or not, if you're not giving them the love, even the world will say, that's child abuse. That's not wrong. That's actually, you could actually lose your child over it. The social server will come and take your child because you're not being able to give that love. So as each one of us, we created in the image of God, and God made us this way. Whether we're receiving it from God or receiving from each other, or we're giving it to each other. But we also give our love to God in our way of saying we want to serve God, in our worship. That's our relationship. So love is very much about relationship. It is a relationship between two people or two parties or two group of people. You could have two families. They just love spending time with each other. They love being with each other. And it would be natural if the other families speak the love language, then each family, they would just love hanging out together, or whether it's two person. But when that's broken, that's actually harder. So in the Bible, we will, in what is the greatest commandment? In Matthew, it say, somebody was asking Jesus, what is the great commandments in the Lord? And Jesus answered him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength, all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And what's the second one? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, a lot of the people will actually say, understand love relationship with God as a believer. It is some churches, maybe it's about duty. They might feel that you have to read the Bible, you have to go to church, you have to do this or that, but more out of a duty because instead of out of love. And we always tell people, oh, why we go to church when we say we're believers, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with God. We will all say that. So a lot of the time we will understand it is not duty that why we read the Bible. It is not a duty why we go to church. We do it because we love God and we love being in His presence and we just love being able to worship God. And we miss it when we don't do it in our prayers time or in our devotional time. But a lot of people will have a harder time with the second portion, to love your neighbor as yourself. In the Bible, actually, the neighbor does not necessarily mean just your next door neighbor. It could be the countryman. It could be a friend. It could be another believer. And a lot of people might find it hard. They say, I love God. I just love devotional time. But then they say, I don't really like going to church. Or they might struggle of being with other people. Or they might find it really hard to get on with other people. And I've heard a lot of people, not maybe not in this church, they will say that they hate the church or they hate the people. But whenever we have those words, that's not actually according to what the Bible says, because the Bible says love each other as brothers and sisters. As believers, we're called to love each other. Jesus' prayers even to say, I pray that you'll be one, just as I as the Father is one. So a lot of the time when we actually say those words, that when we struggle with people, is not necessarily mean, always mean it's the people, but it's actually something broken with that relationship. How do we love? And how do we receive love? And what does that love look like according to the Word of God? Now, if we say that it's a commandment, we can actually say that, okay, this is actually what God wants us to do. I could actually come and say, you have to love because it's the law. But if I actually really put that and say, it's the law, but you're wounded, you have people actually been saying things to you and you haven't forgiven, you might not haven't been healed, that will be difficult for you to say, I have to love, so I have to do it. But when you come from a healed place, when you have had ministry and people pray with you, and you come from a place you have forgiven them, we'll be able to love a lot better instead of feeling I have to do it. It will come from a place that we have received from God healing and His comfort, and we will be able to love from a place of receive from God's love of what does it mean to love others. So that's very important. And if we actually have said those things, we might say that I really hate church or I hate those people. It will be a place that it will be good for us to repent and actually really give the pain and the hurt to God and let God heal us and let God do the work in us. A lot of the time it could be past hurts and wounds from a long time ago, but we haven't actually gone past it yet. We've just put it like a plaster over and just cover it and say, I'm fine, and keep coming to church and charging into church and say, I have to be here because God wants me to be here. But when we're doing that, the hurt is still there. And it will be difficult to love others and other receive love when we come from a wounded place. Now, there's a lot of words that Jesus said about what does it mean to love. There's a really hard passage in Luke chapter 6. It says, love your enemies. Now, when Jesus said that, that literally, if you're talking about thinking about Israel, they have a lot of enemies. When they say enemies, they're enemies that, even nowadays you can watch the news. They have enemies that literally they have no problem of killing them, destroying the nation, destroy the country. They will send bombs nowadays. But what about when Jesus said in that time, they have enemies that want to destroy Israel then too. But Jesus still said, love your enemies. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And then further on, he said, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Verse 35, love your enemies and do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. I read those verses. It only took me less than a minute. But how hard it is to love in that way. Is there anybody actually say, yes, no problem, I can do that? I don't think I can. Unless if actually God's love poured into me. How easy is it to love the way that God wants us to love? If it is just theology and talk about it, but to be able to do it, that's a lot harder. That's a place where we need to receive from God. That's a place we need to sit with Jesus. That's the place of God's supernatural divine love pouring into us. But that's the place of us saying to God, Lord, have your way in my life. We might not actually have real enemy who wants to kill us, but sometimes we might struggle with people in our lives. It could be our actual next door neighbor who are not a believer. They don't like when we talk about God. Or it could be a colleague or friend even. They might reject us when we gave our life to Jesus. They don't like it when we talk about God's love to them. And God is saying, can we still love them? It might not mean that we will actually keep pushing our love to them, but it just means that we will keep our hearts soft to forgive them. And keep our hearts soft in a place of, if we actually see them, they might have shouted at us after we share share gospel with them. But next time when we walk past them, they have a need, will we actually be able to say, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? Or are we going to be holding the grudge and say, serve them right? So that's a place of actually willing to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And to be able to keep soft in our hearts. And then when Jesus talked about those verses, that talking to the people who have only understand relationship. They never understand faith as a relationship with God. They've only known the Pharisee, the priest, telling them about what is the law. But Jesus was actually explaining to them, it is not about the law. This is what love is. Love is actually going beyond the law. It is actually harder than following the law. It is actually willing to let God saturate us, drench us with his love, and that we can love because we have sat with Jesus. We have received from him. Because it is impossible to love the way that God wants us to love unless when we have actually received from him. God loved us. It is easy for us to have relation when we say that we have relationship with God, because he always forgives us when we go back to him. His mercy is new every morning. It is always easier to actually say, Lord, you are so good. When we read the word of God, to actually understand, to receive from him his love. And we just say, God, you're so good. And we have worshiped the Lord, and we have actually have music on. And you just felt that richness and that presence of God. And you just say, Lord, you're so good. And we just feel the presence of God, the richness of being with him. And then somebody come in the house, or even when I was young, when younger Christian, I will always say, I'm a really good Christian when there's nobody around me. It's always easy to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. But then when somebody's around me, it's a lot harder. Is it because God changed, or is it because conflict between people? But when we receive from God, even when we say love, joy, peace, is the fruit of the Spirit. It is always about receiving from God first, that we can love better. If you're thinking about new parents, what is it that caused new parents to be able to survive without hardly any sleep? That you can wake up every few hours and feed your baby. You actually give up your night out or your fun time with your friends. And whatever wages you're coming in, you're spending a large portions of that to your newborn child. Instead of thinking of like a new car that you want to buy or something else that you want. It is all love. When you have the love as the driven force, we will do a lot of things that normally we might not be thinking of doing. We'll be able to give so much more love in a place of, because it is a relationship, it is my child. Even if it is adoption, you can still give because you just have that love. It will go beyond. But if it is just me and it is not my child, and you want me to get up every 3 hours to feed you, and I'll be thinking, no, thank you. But when it's a child, it is a baby, we can do that. And that is what love is. That's what the factor that can drive us to do something that's beyond what we normally would do. And that's the same with the relationship. When God put that love in us, we can actually do something that we normally think that we won't. Now, understanding that love in the Bible, it actually have a lot of different definitions. In a Greek word translation, it's a lot of different love. And a lot of the time when we're actually not understanding our wounds from past, and we haven't have healing from the past, or we haven't actually understanding God's love, or we're actually coming from a place of we don't know how to actually have a healthy understanding what relationship with, healthy boundaries, then we actually find it harder to love. And that's where that conflicts come from with between people. That's why it's always easy when we say that we can receive from God, we can understand God's love. But between people, even in the Bible, there are different type of love. In the English language, love is just love. We use the word love to a husband and wife, say they love each other. To their children, they use the same word love. To the same thing of like, you love burgers, or you love a certain football team, or you love certain style of clothes or music. It's the same word, love. But we actually understand, obviously, that mean differently. But when we read the Bible, it actually have different love as well in the Greek language. And understanding where we are at in our emotional health or spiritual health will help us to actually understand where we are at, or actually being aware of where the other person is. If I'm demanding somebody to love, and they're a new believer, and they have so many past hurts and wounds, and I'm telling them, you have to love because that's the commandment. It will be a very hard place for the new believer because they still need so many healings from the past. They still need to understand so much more of who God is and God's love for them. So that's a different place of our journey walking with God, understanding where we are at and understanding where the other person is. That will actually help us to have a lot more love for each other and also to have been able to talk about a unity because we're aware it's not just you must love or we must love, but being aware of each other, the spiritual health, emotional health, or where they are at, or where we are at, then it's not talking about just one level of love or one dimension of love, but actually being able to care for each other in a place where we are at. At this moment, if somebody wants to kill me and you tell me I have to love them, I will find a hard time to do that. But unless if it is God's sake, can you still forgive that person? If God is pouring into me that love, and I'll say, okay, perfect love, have no fear, Lord, if you want me to. But that comes from our relationship from God. Now, what are the four different words in the love in the Greek language? And actually, there's more than that, a lot more than obviously even in our English language with love. We can actually come in different levels, different understanding of what love is. But we might not have a word for it. But in the Greek, they actually have words for all of them. So you have the love that is between a husband and a wife. So it's a deep, intimate love. So that will be the love that actually pronounce it eros. So that's the love, very intimate. So I suppose as we're talking about unity within a church, unless if you have problem between husband and wives at home and they have that broken relationship and they can't love each other the way that God said that is what love is, and then they bring it into the church too, then it will cause this unity. Maybe if they argue at home all the time, but then they come into church, they argue too. That will cause this unity. But most of the time when we're talking about unity in the church, might be talking about love between friendship, relationship. So the second one we also have is our love between families, which the word is storge. I'm not Greek, so if I'm wrong in pronunciation, sorry about that. But this one is talking about family love and the affections and bond that between families, parents, children, brothers and sisters. So that's the word that the love of Jacob for his sons in the Old Testament, and also Mary and Martha with their brother Lazarus. That's another level and a different understanding of love. And then you also have another word, the philia, which is the God's love, divine love. It is intimate love in the Bible. It is a love that God sacrificed his life, his everything, and gave us his life, that we are not rejected by God. In a sense of, this is the relationship that we only receive, almost like we receive from God first of everything. And what we give back is because of what God gave us first. So we can only love because God loved us first. And this is a love that is such deep, deep love that the scripture talked about a lot when God loved us. But it's also in a lot of places when God asks us to love others beyond our human, normal, natural way. And a lot of the time, the Holy Spirit will pour that love into us. It could be somebody who just come in. We don't even know them. Quite often I've experienced that is, I don't know that person very well. But I can just feel that connection with them through the Holy Spirit. That love just come forth. Even though that I'm not related to them, they're not my family. but it is a love that is from God. And quite often we can experience that too. And then, in the scripture, there are many places that talk about believers having that love for each other. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And that's the love that God is talking about. But to be able to love that way, we have to receive from God first. We need to have the healing from God to be able to be that spiritually and emotionally in a healthy place. And then we also have another love, which is, you have the agape love, and then you have the one that I was talking about just now with God's love is agape, and then you have the philia, which is the love between friends, between believers. A lot of the time, we can't even love another friend in the believer church if we don't even like them. We might have personality differences, but God will be the one that actually teaching us. It's a journey with God learning how to love. We can't love unless if God actually gave that to us first. And it is through being with each other we learn, continue to have relationship with each other, continue to keep our hearts soft. And also one of the major thing is actually learning what is the healthy boundaries between people. A lot of the time, somebody who is very broken-hearted, they have received from God, they become believers, but there are still so many wounds from their past, they actually can't love in a way that God called us to love. So they're in a place they need to receive love from others. Receive love from us if we say we're mature Christians. But we still have to set that healthy boundaries in a sense of people who are very broken, they need to actually receive love from God to understand it is not us to be able to feel that emptiness within them. Otherwise, they will keep on crying out for us to give them love. But there's a healthy boundary. They need to be able to come into a healthy place of relationship and receiving love from God. So for us to be able to understand, there's a healthy boundaries. And a lot of the time people might expect mature Christian to be able to just love. You're here to serve me. You're here to give me love. And so to be able to understand and receive from the Holy Spirit when it is to give. When it is to actually say, you know what? I'm actually spending time with my family. Your issues, you can actually wait until tomorrow. It's okay. You won't die if I don't come to you today. That's a healthy boundaries. Because that's why a lot of even church leaders or pastors, they actually do not understand that healthy boundaries. That's why so many even our pastors' kids, they will actually leave the church as soon as they have the freedom. They're not in the church anymore because they never received it from their own father or mother because they're so busy with the church. If they have never received what they need as a child from their own parents who are serving God, it will be very damaging for them to actually say, only think of God as the one that take away from them. So as people who are serving God, if you have family, you have to actually have a sense of when it is to say yes, when it is to say no. And if you have a work as well, work full time, you have to be able to in a place of understanding when it is a healthy place of serving and when it is actually we need to set a healthy boundaries. What is the one that I can do? What it is the something that somebody else can do. And if it is a smaller church, we might not be able to do everything. So we'll be able to say, you know what? None of us can do that, but it's okay. Because a church is not just about us doing things all the time. But a healthy church is actually us coming together, worshiping God, even those things are not done, but it's okay. And that's when we can grow together. And as the body of Christ, as maybe more people in the church, we can be able to do more because we're spreading all the workload around. So it's nobody actually feeling like we have to do all of this for the church to make it a church. Sometimes we just have to say, it's okay. We don't have to have everything. Like today we have two people in the worship team. But when we have everybody in the church, we have so many people who can do worship. But worship is not just about how many people can do worship. Even if we only have just one person. What if we actually have a Sunday that nobody who can do worship are here? Everybody are away. Can we still worship God? Yes, we can. Because it's not depending on who is doing something or singing or playing something. Because it's coming from our hearts. So as we serve God, we need to be able to know that healthy boundaries for our families, but not, and also a healthy place of receiving it from God and healing. And as we use the spiritual gift that God has given us, we can serve others coming from a healthy place. So a lot of it is actually being aware, being healthy, being awareness of Holy Spirit. Jesus did a lot of things in the ministry. And a lot of time when Jesus had to pull away to spend time with his Father. But sometime even the people keep following him and he'll have compassion on them. So he still healed them. He still spent time with them. But there are many times for us we could be keep serving, doing things for God. And then we keep thinking of that's what love is in the Bible, because I have to love. And then we end up being broken. We end up being so worn out and we say we can't do it anymore. And then the demand is still there. When Jesus was serving, healing the people, the demand keep coming. The demand, he actually have to hide from them. He have to escape and just sneak away. And there are times when we have to do that too. We have to just say, I can't do it. I have to go away. I have to spend time with God. I have nothing else to give. If I don't spend time with God, if I don't have that rest time, there's nothing there. So that's a healthy place, and that's actually understanding our abilities to serve well come from our healthy place, come from being with God, come from receiving from God first. Then we can walk in it. And when God said that we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the world, that's because God is in us. We can love well. And when he said it's a commandment, I tend to thinking it's a commandment because God said we can do it. Is this a possible thing? God is not going to tell us to do something that's impossible. If he said that this is his commandments, that means actually we need to be able to say, so first of all, we say we can do it. Second of all, we say, Lord, you're the one that can make me being able to do it because I'm created in his image. And then we know that it is through us receiving from God, being healed by God, understanding what love is in our own personal life, in our journey, where we are at. Then we can love well. We can love in so many different ways. There are times when we can't love, maybe not in serving people, but we can love in our words. There are times when we want to love in giving people gifts. Maybe we're just so struggling with everything else, I just can't even do it. That sometimes maybe we just need to be able to receive from others. I find a lot of people in the church actually find it harder to persuade them to receive love because they say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. Why are you giving me that? And they struggle. Or if we actually give them words of encouragement, affirmations, they struggle so hard to receive it because they don't believe it. So that might be, if we struggle that much to receive other people's love, that might be a place for us to say, Lord, I need healing from you. Then it's not going to become an argument between somebody trying to love the other person. And then when the other person didn't want it and you feel rejected. So let us continue to be aware of where we are at and where the other person at. And a lot of it is actually through being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to God as we spend time with him. So that's it. Let me pray. As I say that this about us receiving from God, that we can love. So let's just pray in our hearts and just be open to receive from him. To receive from him what he say our church is. That we can love each other. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we can receive from you. We can be drenched by your love. Completely saturate us from the inside out. We love because you love us first. And we know that we all desire to love the way that you call us to live, even when it's difficult as we listen to your words. But if it is something that you say for us to do, we know it's because it is possible. So saturate us with your love, Lord God. Holy Spirit, do your work in us. We come as a child to come to you, our Heavenly Father, to receive love from you. That deep, eternal, divine love that only you can give. Pour into us, Lord God. Let us be a sponge that's completely saturated by your love. Lord God, if there's any of us that feeling so dry, like a dry sponge, we come before you and we just say, Lord, pour into us. Thinking of a sponge, when it's completely saturated, it can't help but just leak everywhere. Think of yourself as a sponge. And let God saturate you. We can only give love when we have been saturated by God and the love of God leaked out of us. It can't help but leaked out of us. So Lord God, we receive from you. Make us your love instrument that our families, our husband and wives, our children, we receive from you through us. Our friends will receive that love. Soak us, Lord God. Saturate us, Lord God. And Lord God, if there's anybody we need to forgive, or even to forgive ourselves, we pray, Lord God, that you will reveal that to us. And we do forgive that person. And we do forgive us. And we do repent as well, Lord God. Especially when people didn't know their boundaries. And they've charged into our area. And it's caused damage and hurt. Or when we didn't know what that boundary is and we haven't said it and we didn't know that we could have a boundary. So Lord God, we just pray, Holy Spirit, come set that boundaries area. Help us to be aware where is that boundary line is. Let that we are giving love out of receiving from you, not feeling we have to do it in an area that is actually you didn't call us to go and love. Let us serve you well in a place of healthy place. Do your ministry in us, Lord God. We love you. And we do decide to love each other. We praise you, Lord God. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. We are love because you first loved us. We can love because you first loved us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Enjoy each other's company. Have a cup of tea and coffee. Okay, Steve, want to share something? My lovely husband, yes.
Isn't it wonderful that she's able to give the sermons that I always wanted to but never could? No, this is a thought that just came to my mind, just dropped in there. I'm reading a really challenging book at the moment. All right. Really challenging book. It's called The Bible. Okay. All right, and another book as well, but this one. Thought just came to my mind in relation to what Larissa is just saying there. There's a wonderful passage in John's Gospel right at the end, chapter 21. Okay, you're probably aware of it. And Jesus turned around to Peter and says, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he goes, "Ah, of course I do." And then he says, no, Peter, do you love me?" "Ah, of course I do." And he goes, "Ah, Peter, do you really love me?" "Ah, of course I do." But he didn't really get it. Peter really didn't get it. And then Peter turns around and says, "But what about that man over there?" And Jesus' response was, "What is it to you? What is it to you?" He says that twice to him. "What is it to you what I do with that man?" And the thought came to my mind, just as Loretta literally was closing in prayer there. Okay? And I absolutely agree with her. Jesus is interested in our heart and not what we think of other people. He's interested in our heart and not what we think of other people. And if we're to love others, like Loretta says, there's stuff in us that needs to be healed. There's stuff in us that needs to be dealt with. And that's what Jesus is really interested in. And he will dig. He'll say, "Steve, do you love me?" "Of course I do." "No, Steve, do you really love me?" "Nah, of course I do, Jesus. I've been serving you for all these years." No, Steve, do you really love me?" And if I'm busy looking at other people and not looking at Jesus, then I'm going to give him the wrong response. All right? Amen.
Yeah. I think for most part, our church, in our conversation, Bible study, a lot of us actually understand our relationship with God in a healthy-ish place. Some of us might still need to have more understanding of what does it mean, our relationship with God. But I think this, we are in a season of learning how to love each other. So this is just the beginning of a season of the teaching. I feel like God is going to open a lot more. And that probably will be part of it too. And so looking forward to what God is doing in us and through us, instead of thinking it's going to be a hard place of how to love, let's think of it as in God is actually giving us tools of how to love well, and also giving us revelations and also giving us freedom, because he's going to bring healing into area that we find it hard to love. Because when God actually giving that to us commandment, that means we can do it from a place of actually be love. And it's a great place to be if you think of it as an upgrade from God, and God is going to bring healing, and God is going to actually empower us to love. Love each other and be love in the community. Let's be excited about it. Let's encourage each other and let's grow together in this. Amen.